Boy, we are blessed with kids. It's so good because, you know, they're going to grow up to be the mighty men and women of God tomorrow. And we need them. We need them. We need them. You know, the Bible, the Lord showed me a long time ago when I was in the nursery that that was the most honored place to be. Make feel you bad, girls. But no, I mean, amen. You know, that this, God looks at these little children, and they are so cute, and they have such cute little personalities. Like, I'll tell you, for instance, the other day, James and Julie were down here working in the yard sale stuff, and Seth was in here. And I said, Seth, you are the cutest thing. He said, no, I'm not cute. I am handsome. And I said, you are right, Seth. You are handsome. So, see, I mean, they've got these cute little personalities that just, you know, they're just precious. But anyway, so all of you have got the bulletin, and the pastor's corner today is consider the poor. Have you ever thought about poor? Faye was mentioning this Friday night when she bought some stuff down the yard sale. How many homeless children are there in Santa Rosa County, Faye? 1,200 children in Santa Rosa County that are homeless. And I just want to put a plus in for East Middleton School. They called, my daughter-in-law called me, and she works with under the educational, she works for the Santa Rosa County School District in working with the homeless children in Santa Rosa County. And they had called, East Middleton School had called her to tell her that they thought that two of my great-grandchildren were homeless. And they were concerned, and I appreciate their concern because they were homeless a while back, and they were taking notice. And, you know, so I'm frantically on the phone, you know, and turns out that they weren't, that all was well. But I appreciate their concern. They could, you know, say, why would I care? You know, there's all sorts of kids at East Milton. I can't watch every kid that's East Milton. But they're concerned, and I praise God for our educational system that is concerned. But 1,200 children, that means that they might not be living under a bridge, but they're living with somebody. They're not in their homes. They don't know if they're going to get fed every night. They don't know if they're where they're going to sleep that night. So we have a lot to pray for. And the Bible says, consider the poor. And when we consider something, that doesn't mean that we just hand a dollar to a homeless person as we drive by. Amen. That's not considering them. And I want to share with you this verse, and it is an awesome verse, Psalms 41, 1 through 3. It's, blessed is he who considers the poor. See, this, I was, everywhere I turned, I got these verses about poor people. It's like here in Proverbs 19:17 says, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. You want to borrow from the Lord? Amen. God's going to pay you back, isn't he? That's a wonderful verse. So, you know, not that we give to get back, but we give because there's a process going on. God has said that when we give, we're going to get in return. And that's what the Lord showed me on our little tithe envelopes. It says a tenth belongs to the Lord. And years, you know, I had been looking at that thing for years. And all of a sudden, one day I was reading, I said, a tenth belongs to the Lord. A tenth belongs to God. Amen. And he's going to get it one way or the other. Amen. I have found that to be true. So be a generous giver. But anyway, this is, blessed is he who considers the poor, who takes notice of the poor. Now, like I'm always quoting Sister Teresa, because I love her so much, Mother Teresa, she said, you know, you might not be able to feed the world, but perhaps you could feed one person. Well, perhaps you could feed 10 people. Who knows? But do whatever you can. Anyway, he says, blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. You ever been in trouble? Here it says, God's going to deliver you in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. Paul was just talking about a time that we could have in this country where we're going to need God to keep us alive. Amen. And he will be blessed on the earth. You want to be blessed on the earth? Amen. Give to the poor. Consider the poor. It says, he will deliver him. He will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his sick bed. He will sustain him on his sick bed. So if we're sick, who's going to come to our aid? God. Amen. Say, God, remember. Remember, Lord. Amen. So when we're sick, we have a good scripture to stand on. So anyway, I was, Sandy had went over when it was one of the rare cold nights that we had last winter. And she worked in the coal shelter. And she calls me up and she says, Sister Claudia, there's a man that has, I think he had MS or he was, whatever he had, it didn't matter. He had a young child, and he didn't have anywhere to go. And the church had put him up for a week. Another week was coming. People were trying to get him into a place to stay. But he needed help right then. So also because we're a church, we're able to get into with a really good rate. So we were able to help this man take over food and all this. But it really began to make me think, you know, what is our role in this? And, you know, what does God want us to do? And sometimes, you know, there is wisdom in this, I realize. You know, we have to have a balance. We can't just, but if God puts somebody in your path, he wants you to do something about it. If you can, amen. Well, Michael and I had brought some stuff down to the yard sale, and then we went by Burger King to get something to eat. And I noticed this young man in the corner, and he's just sitting there. And I'm thinking, God, should I help him? What should I do? You know, so I prayed for him. And then later on, I noticed there was another guy sitting beside him. And the younger guy had like his hole from his fingers all the way up was in a cask. And I'm thinking, Lord, why are they sitting there? Should I help them? Well, I ended up by doing nothing. But I was really, God, what do you want me to do? Have you ever been to the place where you're really, God, tell me what to do? And you want to hear the voice of God. You want to say, God, what is your will for this? Well, I said all of that to lead to get you guys to turn to Romans 8th chapter, where I have been for the last week or two, really for a while. Romans 8th chapter is probably one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible. So you guys, turn to Romans 8th chapter. And but anyway, isn't it nice to know that God appreciates if we help somebody out? And I know there's so many people to help out, but, you know, God will show us what to do. But anyway, let me share you this little story. I was talking to Michael about growing up. And, you know, my father was a farmer and a carpenter, and he carpentered to pay for the farming. And we always had lots of food, but we didn't have anything else, or not a lot else. But we didn't know we were poor. Nobody told us, and we had food, so we thought, you know, we were doing pretty good. But anyway, you didn't have like 10 pairs of shoes in your closet. You didn't have 20 pairs of shoes in your closet. You had one pair of shoes in your closet. And, you know, when you started school, you got a pair of shoes. And at Christmas, maybe you would get a pair of shoes for part of your Christmas presents. You didn't get 25 dozen Christmas presents. You got two or three Christmas presents. But you were so grateful. You were so happy. So anyway, then at Easter, you usually got Easter shoes. So anywhere, somewhere between Easter and the end of the school, my shoes wore out. And it was the last day of school. And I had to go to school barefoot. Now, that wasn't so unusual. I mean, some people went to school every day with no shoes, but I never had to. I remember being so embarrassed, having to get on that school bus with no shoes on. It was awful. You know, I thinking, oh, nobody probably noticed. You know, no one had any money. But anyway, to me, that was, as a child, I think one of the most embarrassing things I ever had to do in my life is get on that school bus with bare feet. I survived it, obviously. So it's hard to be poor, you know? And so that's another reason we need to pray. Pray for, you know, that we need to pray for each other. And gosh, I am not going to ramble on forever, Robin. I promise that we got to get to the meeting. But I had to tell you guys this story because you know how grandparents are. And Sammy is not home, shoeless. I'll set that. But Sammy, anyway, came to me one day while I was over there. And he says, Grandma, look at my shoes. They're all scuffed up. And he said, I really need a pair of shoes. I need a pair of Nike shoes. And he goes into this whole spiel why he needs a pair of Nike shoes. Has to be Nike shoes. So I call up Rhonda, and I say, Rhonda, is Tanner, does he have got a really nice pair of shoes? And Sammy, I didn't even talk to the parents about this. This is going on. By the way, does Tanner have a pair of shoes he's not wearing? Because I know Nike wears Tanner, and I know he's got this from Tanner. He wants to wear what Tanner has. So anyway, she says, no, he doesn't. So anyway, he's going on about these Nike shoes, and it was really cute because he had it all worked out. He said, have you considered looking on Amazon? I mean, like, I didn't, you know, I said, well, as a matter of fact, Uncle Michael and I did look on Amazon. But anyway, isn't that cute? I mean, you know, it's like, he's so smart. I mean, these kids today are so smart. But anyway, let's get to Romans 8th chapter and why we are doing all this. Because the 8th chapter is just one of those awesome chapters. It covers everything. In Romans 8th chapter, we are taught how to walk in the Spirit. Now, that's what we want to do. And the reason I said all this before is because of Romans 8th chapter, centering in on one verse, which is the 14th verse, because I don't have a lot of time. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Amen. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, you would think I would have been led by the Spirit down pat at my age, right? But I don't. I worry, God, I want to hear your voice. God, I want to know what you're saying. God, I want you to know if I'm supposed to help that person or not. I want to know, God. I want Gabriel or somebody to come down and say, this is it, Claudia, walk through that door. And I don't think Gabriel's going to probably do that. But anyway, this is a Romans 8th chapter, the 14th verse. And I asked Paul, I said, Paul, let me share because I have all this good stuff to share. And he's very sweet. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And I've written this over here. It says, there are increasing degrees of being led by the Spirit. The more fully we are led by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, the more completely we will be obedient to God and be conformed into the image of His holy standards. So this is a process, obviously, and it's been a long process for me. You think I would really have it down by now. But we want to hear the voice of God. Amen? We want to hear the voice of God. We want to be increasing able to hear the voice of God. Because when those 1,200 kids come across our path and God wants us to do something, we want to hear. Amen? We want to hear. And so anyway, going to the very first verse, there says, there is therefore now no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So what we have here, how are you going to walk? Are you going to walk according to the flesh, or are you going to walk according to the Spirit? God wants us to be Spirit-led. Amen? Amen. I am so thirsty. When Paul was a young kid, he'll love this story, he got Bell palsy. Anybody ever heard of Bell palsy? That's a weird thing. I thought it had died out with the Dark Ages. And I come home from work, Fred says, I had to take Paul to the emergency room. He has Bell palsy. And I said, what is that? So anyway, what happened was it's like a mini stroke. So I don't know why. I don't know why it happened. It just happened. But anyway, it caused Paul. One of the things is that his saliva glands don't work. And that causes him to be very thirsty and have to drink a lot of water. And I didn't appreciate that until you get up here. And I feel like my saliva glands went bye-bye today. I'm so thirsty, so I understand. So I know that you guys wanted to know that about Paul, right? Now you know. I know. He says, she will never speak again. ever. So anyway. No secrets. Amen. So anyway, it says, so there is condemnation if you're in the flesh. There is no condemnation if you're in the Spirit. Amen. For the law, the second verse says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Isn't that awesome? The law of the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus has made me free. So we're free. We're free today from the law of sin and death. We do not have to submit to that. Amen. We don't have to be pulled down by our lower beastly nature. Okay, and it goes on. This is a fabulous, and I've got it broke down in sections. The first one being Romans 1 through 11, there's life in the Spirit. We're supposed to choose life over the flesh. Amen, the flesh man. Like, you know, you're going down the road, you're going to be... Have you ever woke up in the morning and you said, I'm going to be so good today, it's going to be a great day, it's going to be wonderful, and you're dancing across the room and everything, and then you get out in traffic and it just becomes horrible right there, or maybe before you get out in traffic. But anyway, God wants us to be ruled by the Spirit and not by our lower beastly nature. And I say that because it is a beastly nature. If you've dealt with it, amen. Anyway, so the first 11 verses deals with life in the Spirit. The second, 12 through 17, deals with that we become sons through the Spirit. We are growing in the Lord. We become sons. As a matter of fact, he says we're adopted. We're adopted, and we can call our Heavenly Father, Abba Father. Isn't that awesome? Daddy Father. That's how close God wants us to be to him. He wants us to be that close that we can call him daddy. We can call him daddy. And you don't call everybody daddy. You only call your daddy daddy. Amen? Amen. But we have a heavenly father who wants us to be so close to him that we can call him daddy. We can run to him with our problems and say, daddy. We can crawl up in daddy's lap. Amen? Did you ever do that as a little girl? One of the thrills of my life was I would sit in my daddy's lap while he read the newspaper. And he would read the newspaper all the way through. And maybe that's why I like to read so much. But anyway, that was so neat. I got to sit in my daddy's lap while he read the newspaper. And so the next one, okay, the first one is life in the Spirit. We become some sons through the Spirit. Amen. As we grow, we become sons. You know, we can take Paul's family again. He seems to be in the... No, Paul has two sons. He has Sam, who's a perfect son. And he has PJ. But there is a difference. Paul, PJ, is a mature son. Where Sam is mature for seven, but he's not mature like... So we are sons, amen? But we are becoming even more mature sons. That's what God wants. God wants mature sons. Amen. So all, and then the Romans, the 18th verse to the 30th is all things work together. And the last part of this chapter goes into God's everlasting love. It's all wonderful. But let's turn over really quick to Galatians, the 6th chapter. And then we're going to come back to Romans. So how do we know that we're in the Spirit? Well, God tells us. He tells us everything. Everything that we need to know, it's all in God's Word. Amen. This Word is so important. So important. Read the Word. Read the Word. Eat the Word. Just make it your daily meal. Amen, Kevin. God wants us in the Word. He wants us in the Word. Okay, Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 18th verse. Is everybody there? And if you can Google it, just make sure that you... King James Version. Oh, this is really funny. I got this Bible. Fred was given this Bible in Alaska, but he didn't like this Bible because it was New King James, and he was an old King James man. I don't understand anything unless it's King James. You remember him saying that? You know. But we still got our... but anyway. Okay, starting with the 18th verse, Galatians 5 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, that's what we're talking about, right? Being led by the Spirit and becoming sons, you are not under the law. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. See if any of these are working in your life, guys. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. Have you had any of those lately? Selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelry, and the like. So whatever you didn't see there, you can add. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are pretty horrible things, aren't they? I hope there's none of those people in here. But if you are, you're in a good place to repent. Amen? Amen. So what I want us to do is really center in on Romans, the 8th chapter, this coming week. But go back and say, are any of these working in my life? Do I have any of these in my life? If they are, I want to get rid of them. I don't want them hanging around. Because any darkness that is in your light, in your life, Satan has a rule over that area. Any darkness that we allow in our life, Satan can use that area against us. Amen? So these are works of darkness. These are works of darkness, the work of the flesh here. They're awful. We don't want them in our life. Amen? So, okay, we see that these things, and then let's go down to the 22nd verse. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Got any of this working in your life today? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That means suffer a long time. Anybody want to volunteer for that one? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you have a problem with self-control? Do we Americans have a problem with self-control, or do we have a problem? When you've eaten that fifth cupcake and you know you should have stopped at one, you have a problem with self-control. It's not all just drugs and alcoholics and all of these people. We can do a pretty good job being out of self-control on food. As a matter of fact, Paul says later on, he says, you know, food is for the stomach. Don't let it rule over you. And I had to remind myself of that. It's hard. Okay, gentleness. Gentleness. How much do we need gentleness in our life? Against such there is no law. There is no law. For those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Didn't we just read that in Romans? God wants us to walk in the Spirit. So God puts these things down for a map. Where are you here? Where are you here? You know, do we have love? Do we have joy? Do we have peace? Do we have long-suffering? Are we kind? Sometimes we just need to be kind to one another. You know, as husbands and wives and mommies and daddies and children, we just need to be kind to one another. You know, sometimes you say, hey, you know, I'm going to love you. Sometimes if we were just kind to each other, that would cover a lot right there. Amen? Amen. So peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law. Amen? You don't want to have the law in your life? Live these verses. Amen. So God is putting a standard before us. This is where I want you to go. So let's go back to the 8th chapter. Now that we know, understand what walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh is. So that's a pretty good example there, isn't it? Amen. Well, how can I do this? Well, it takes some work. Amen. But there's an example. There's a lot of examples in the Bible. But there's an example of Paul and Silas. And they were out preaching the gospel. God had sent them out to preach to the Gentiles. And they were out there preaching. And these particular people became jealous, envious, what usually happened when Paul was out preaching. And so they got the whole mob upset. Pretty soon the mob is stoning them. Pretty soon they're thrown in jail. And pretty soon it's the midnight hour. Guess what Paul and Silas are doing at the midnight hour? They're praising and singing to God. I mean, can you imagine? None of it was their fault. They were doing what God sent them to do. And here they find themselves in the innermost part of the jail, in stocks, you know, all this. They've got to be hurting. You don't get beat and not, you know, oh my gosh, I'm in pain down here. I'm all locked up down here. I'm in the inner, and what are they doing? They're praising God. And they praise God so much and so furious that the whole jail collapsed. You know, God sent an earthquake and the whole jail collapses. And the guy, oh, isn't this sweet? Who did that? I bet Houston did that. You did it, Paul. Thank you. I'm sorry. Isn't this sweet? Oh, well, I'll just get one of these. Oh. But it is something that Houston would do. Right. Amen. So he's learned from a good mentor. So anyway, so Paul and Silas are singing and praising God in the uttermost parts of the prison, and the whole thing falls apart, and the jailer's going to kill himself, and he says, don't do it, we're all here, you know. And so because of this, Paul leads the whole family to the Lord, and they're all baptized. Isn't that a wonderful story? But they were in a circumstance that was very, very difficult, a circumstance that they didn't buy. They were doing what God told them to do. And here they find that it's turned out all bad. Have you ever been that? You've tried to do what's right, and it turns out all bad. And you think, oh, this isn't working out at all. Wow. You know, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to praise God, right, Jane? You're supposed to praise God. And God will take care of the whole thing. Okay, going back to the 8th chapter, promise me you'll really, really meditate on these scriptures because they're awesome. And I'm not doing them justice today. But you need a really verse-by-verse study of this. Amen. So anyway, I'm just going to jump around and do a couple of verses real quick. Romans 8, the 11th verse. This is one of my all-time favorite verses. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead, or Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So I want you guys to picture Jesus has been in the grave for 3 days. It's resurrection morning. It's Sunday morning. And who comes out of this grave? Jesus comes out of this grave. The angel rolled away the stone, not for Jesus. He was already out of there. He rolled away the stone for us so we could get in and see, hey, it's empty. Hey, it's empty. Yay. You know, all these other gods, their tombs are not empty, but ours is empty. Amen. So anyway, that same Spirit, listen to this, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead indwells you, and it will quicken your mortal body. So sometimes when I'm feeling really bad, I just see that Spirit, and the Spirit's already in me, but I just see it just pushing out all that bad stuff. It can't stay. Amen? It has to go. It has to go. So this is one of my all-time favorite scriptures. Then you can't do Romans 8 without Romans 8:28. Who knows Romans 8:28? Amen. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That purpose means a deliberate plan. God has a deliberate plan for you. Amen. So, and we know that all things work together. What was Sister Kiwi talking about? Suffering. All the suffering, all the pain that we go through. God wants us to go above all that into His presence, because it says all things work together for the good of those who love God. Amen. All things, not just some things. Circle that all. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Don't we love God? We wouldn't be here this morning if we didn't love God. We'd be out at the river. We'd be meditating on the river. Oh, I meet God at the river. Well, you know, okay. That's where you meet Him. So who am I? And we know that all things work together for good of those who love God, to those who are called according to a purpose. And He has a purpose in each one of our lives. He has a purpose and a plan. Isn't that wonderful? You're not just out here wondering, well, what is my life? What am I doing? God has a plan and a purpose, and He's going to work it out. Okay, there's so much in this chapter that I just can't even touch it, really. But let's go over to the 31st verse. Now, these scriptures are so awesome. You're just going to be thrilled that I read them to you. Amen? That you were able to read these. So, okay, this is, and this little section is called God's Everlasting Love. Have you ever wondered if God loves you? Yes, He loves you a whole bunch. Anyway, listen to this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Amen? Let's go on down to the 35th verse. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, our distress, our persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our peril, our sore? Who can separate us from God? Amen? No one. No one. The only person that can separate you from God is yourself. Amen. For your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For yet in all these things, we are more. We are what? More than conquerors. Not just maybe occasionally a conqueror, but we are more than a conqueror. It says, for I am persuaded. The 38th verse, for I am persuaded. Are you persuaded today? Paul was persuaded. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing, nothing. Do you think these Christians in these Middle East countries that are being slaughtered, being taken, literally this verse, you know, right there. You know, we are like lambs led to the slaughter. They're there. They're being slaughtered for Jesus' name. You think they know these verses? They know Jesus. Amen. Amen. They're willing to pay the uttermost. And that's, we have to be also, just like Pastor Paul was talking about, that verse. We have to be ready. Like I said, I think the last time, we have to go there before we go there. You have to make up your mind. This is what I will do before I get there. Because once you get there, it's going to be too late for you to make up your mind. You're going to go with the crowd. You're going to say, well, I gave you the example of the Christians that was in one of the communist countries where these guards came in and they said, you know, we're going to kill you. We've been given the order to kill you. If you're not, you know, Christian, get out right now because the rest of you are going to die. And most of them ran out. Hey, you know, I'll live for Jesus tomorrow, but this day I'm getting out of here. And then the ones that were left, they said, we're Christians. We just had to make sure that you were too. So that's the ultimate test, amen, if somebody came in here. But I pray, you know, I pray now that we would do that. But I know that we have to decide before we get there. Because it's not going to be an instant thing. Oh, yeah, I think I'll do that. I think I'll die for you, Jesus. Sounds like a good idea for me. No, you got to know you're going to go. That's what you're going to do before you get there. Amen. So anyway, for I am persuaded. Let's be persuaded today, folks. Amen. Now, how many of you are going to promise, be honest, that you're going to study Romans 8th chapter this week? Amen. Oh, see, amen. Rick is honest. He's not committing. I know. I'll call you, Rick. I'll say, Rick, have you studied? Have you everybody give me your phone numbers for you to leave in. I will call and leave numbers. But I mean, honestly, this is one of the best chapters. Is it not true? Isn't that true? It's just wonderful. And it covers so much, you know. Am I walking in the Spirit? Am I walking in the flesh? God wants us to walk in the Spirit, amen. We need to walk in the Holy Spirit. We want to be poured out wine and broken bread for a lost and dying world. But how can we do that if we're not led by the Spirit? Amen. So my prayer is for you this morning that we will do that. We will do that. Lord, we thank you that we bless your people. We thank you, Lord, that we are persuaded. Today we are persuaded that nothing will ever separate us from the love of Christ. Lord, we're persuaded that you work all things out. Lord, we are persuaded that we are walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Lord, we're going to pull down that flesh man. We're not going to walk in the flesh. We're not going to have to have control over everything. Lord, we're going to let you have control over everything. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us, Lord, of our shortcomings. And Lord, help us to grow. Help us to grow in you. Lord, bless Sonia today. Bless her efforts and her desire to work with veterans. And Lord, let it just work out, Lord. Lord, we thank you that every need is met in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in the world today. We thank you that for the salvation that's coming to many of the Eastern, Middle East countries where we're many, many are coming to you. And in China and Korea and different places, Lord, where there's such persecution. But Lord, I thank you that we are persuaded. We're persuaded. And we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that for this, your people. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for being with Michaela. We thank you, Lord. Let her have just an awesome birthday. Lord, I thank you how far you've brought this child. I thank you, Lord, that love has brought her this far. And Lord, that you have plans for her. And Lord, for this whole family, we just thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just, this meeting, that the corporate meeting that we have ahead of us, Lord, we thank you. Help us, Lord, to think big because we serve a big God. And we just give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry if I wondered too much. My Paul. Thank you.